Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. In those opening verses in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, in that opening statement, Paul there describes to us the twofold nature of God. And when you think about that twofold nature, it is important that we understand both God's goodness and His severity. Now, too often times, one is stressed over the other. And what that creates for us is an inaccurate picture of the God of heaven. There are those that stress His goodness to the exclusion of His severity. And as a result, we get a picture, of course, of a loving God, but of a God who is unwilling or unable to punish those who do wrong. On the flip side of that, though, you have those who stress God's severity to the exclusion of His goodness. And in that, we get a picture of a God who, yes, punishes wrongs, but almost one who is just sitting there waiting for us to do wrong so that He may punish us. It's important as we think about God that we understand that, yes, God is both good and He is severe. In our sermon this evening, we want to focus in on that goodness. God's goodness can be seen in the things that He provides for His children. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do, be turning over to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 9 is where we'll start. We're going to be looking at several verses in the book of Numbers tonight. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation or shadow of turning." Do you have any good gifts in your life? Nod your heads like this. Even if you have only a few, you've got some good gifts in your life. James tells us those came from God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter tells us that His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. These two verses let us know that God supplies everything that we need. Some of the best examples of God's goodness can be found in the book of Numbers. Interesting enough, some examples of God's severity can be found there. During the years leading up to the wilderness wanderings and during those wanderings, we see on display the goodness and the severity of God. In the book of Numbers, God gives His children at least three things that are noteworthy, three categories that we want to look at that He provided for His children then, that He provides for His children now. Number one tonight, God gives supervision. God gives supervision. In Numbers chapter 9, beginning in verse 15 through the end of the chapter, we see God supervising the children of Israel as they traveled. Moses writes, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled there, the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whether the cloud was taken up, they would journey." He goes on to continue to describe the same thing. The point being this, God was providing them with supervision. God let them know when it was time to move, and God let them know when it was time to stay. This cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, it let them know when they were to go. And as we as New Testament Christians, now we don't have a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But we can receive God's guidance today. We receive His guidance from His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us all the instruction that we need. It's given by inspiration of God. Literally, inspiration there, theopneustos, God breathed. You know, it's interesting to me, we see that idea of God breathing one other time in Scripture. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And speaking of man, we read that God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. The breath of God brought life. And then here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, we see God breathing once again into this book. Friends, this is not a dead book. It is a living book. The Hebrew writer would tell us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick there means living. Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine. It tells me what is right. It is profitable for reproof. It tells me what's wrong. It is profitable for correction. It tells me how to get right. And it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It tells me how to stay right. And then notice what it's able to do. It's able to make us complete. I like cheesecake. By the way, for my birthday, I haven't told y'all about this. Micah made a butter pecan cheesecake. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about all the glorious things that were contained within this cheesecake because I don't want y'all ceasing listening to me and listening only to your stomach. But this thing was awesome. Now, if I have a complete cheesecake, how many pieces have you eaten of that? You haven't eaten any of them, have you? Because I have it, it's complete. It has all the pieces. If we put together a puzzle and it is complete, what do we understand about that puzzle? All the pieces are there, right? We understand this concept of the word complete. That's what Paul is telling Timothy, that God's word does that for us. It makes us complete. No pieces are missing. Everything that you need is here. You just got to open it up. You just got to spend the time reading and studying. The children of Israel followed God's direction. And we should follow God's directions today as well. In John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Friends, as we think about the goodness of God, one of the great things that God has given us is His supervision. Number two tonight, God gives sustenance. God gives sustenance. We're back to Numbers. We're looking at the things that God provided in the book of Numbers. And as we look at this, there are three specific things pertaining to the physical needs that we see in the book of Numbers that God provided for the people. First, He provided for them manna to eat. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, here the people are complaining. They basically said, "Moses, you brought us out here to die." They're complaining about not having anything. In verse 6, "But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar caked in its pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it." Now I don't know about you, but I like pastries. And that's what it says this tastes like. God was providing for His people. He provided the manna for them. Interestingly enough, you know what the word manna actually means? What is it? When it fell, came from heaven, when they saw it there, that was the question they asked, what is it? And so they called it manna. But we're going to see the people begin, as we see here, they're becoming tired of the manna that God had provided. And so verses 31 and 32 of the same chapter, we see that as they tired of that, God provided for them quail. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. So God provided for them quail. Also, He provided for them water to drink. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8, we read Him telling Moses, "Take the rod and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." The physical needs that they had, God made sure that those things were provided for. And friend, God provides for us today. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we have a familiar verse to us. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." But many times we forget to ask, what are these things? "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What are these things? Back up in the passage. What do we see Jesus talking about? He's talking about the physical necessities of life. He talks about food. He talks about clothing. And that's what he's saying in verse 33. If we'll put God first, those physical necessities, God's going to take care of them. He's going to make sure that those needs are met. Just as an earthly father takes care of his earthly children, our heavenly Father will take care of His spiritual children. When we think about the goodness of God, friends, He gives supervision. He gave us His Word. He gives sustenance. He makes sure that those physical needs are met. And then finally, number 3, God gives salvation. God gives salvation. In Numbers chapter 21, in verses 5 through 9, we have an incident that takes place which highlights both the severity of God and God's goodness. Beginning in verse 5, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread.' So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Then the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." In these verses, God provided for Israel a means of physical salvation from death. You know, it's amazing to me that the people had complained to God. They complained about God. They said, "Our souls loathe this worthless bread," the bread that God had so graciously given them. They didn't have to scowl around through the wilderness and attempting to find something to eat. God had provided those things for them. But as they complained to God, God said, "Fine. Here you go." And as a result, the people come back to Moses and they say, "Hey, we shouldn't have said that. Go back to God." And God says, "Here's what I'll do." He provided a means of salvation for them. And today God provides spiritual salvation through His Son. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "For when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we notice the passage earlier in this morning when we were looking at when Peter and John were arrested prior to their statement of Peter. It's amazing to see Peter here. He's standing before the Sanhedrin. You look at Acts chapter 4, this Sanhedrin court more than likely is the exact same court that sentenced Jesus to death. I mean, not that much time has passed. Maybe there were a few different members, but for the most part, this is the exact same court that saw Jesus crucified. And yet Peter stands there with no qualms whatsoever and says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by where we must be saved." Friends, these are three examples found in the book of Numbers of God's goodness towards His children. He provides for His children now, just as He did back then. He provides supervision through His Word. He provides sustenance, those physical things that we need. And He provides for us salvation through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Let it never be that we doubt the goodness of our God. We have a great God. We have a great God. Are you serving Him faithfully this evening? If you're not a Christian, will you take that step tonight? God's provided the means of salvation for you, but you have to take advantage of it. Just as God provided salvation for the children of Israel in the form of that bronze serpent. If a person was bit, they couldn't say, "Well, God provided me salvation. There's nothing that I have to do on my part. I'll just sit here in my tent and die." They had to do their part. God had done His. He made it available to them, but they had to go and look upon that bronze serpent. God provided Jesus. Jesus gave His life. The means of salvation is available. But God says, "You do your part." If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin and repentance, to confess that belief before those are gathered here, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, friends, you can take advantage of the salvation that is offered. I realize many of you here tonight have done that. What's the situation of your soul right now? Are you a faithful child of God? You know, I can't peer into your mind and know what's going on there. I don't have that ability. But God does. And you know. Friend, don't leave tonight not being on speaking terms with your God. Don't leave tonight without that relationship being like it should. There's no reason to. You're among a group of people here that love you, that care about you, that want you to go to heaven with them. Are you living so that you can? God's goodness, it's a wonderful thing. Are you partaking in it? Friend, if you're not and you need to make a change, we'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.